Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the cold weather, even though I hate cold weather. It kills the bugs. Thank you for everyone that's here and everyone that's watching. Thank you for your son, who was the best gift we could ever have asked for. Let your words come out of my mouth today, and let people's hearts be touched and their spirits blessed. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, I kept thinking about what to preach, and I thought, oh, wait a minute, this is the Sunday before Christmas. You got to do a Christmas sermon. You can't just do any old sermon. So, and then I started thinking about, it's funny, over the years, I've met many people, and people argue about Christmas. You know, it's not the right time of year as one, which is true. It probably was, you know, a different time of year. My dad always thought April, because, you know, tax time, and they were going to pay their taxes. It's funny, because people also gripe about Christmas trees. Wow, Christmas trees, that's pagan holiday tradition. You can't have a Christmas tree. And that, I always go back to, one is what's in your heart. Two, who created trees? God created trees. Did God say in the Bible, don't bring a tree into your house and celebrate my birthday? He did not say that. So I think as long as your heart is in the right place, trees are okay. So that's why we actually have this manger over here, because we had some people years ago that didn't like the Christmas tree that we had put up in the church. So we have a manger instead of a Christmas tree, which is fine. Anyway, hallelujah. Christmas is it means Christmas. You guys know that, and so it's the Sunday where we celebrate, or the day we celebrate Jesus. It's always on the 25th. I thought today was interesting. This year, for some reason, growing up, I always thought that Thanksgiving and Christmas were always on the 25th, and then I realized one year, oh, Thanksgiving ends up on whatever day is Thursday. It's not on the 25th, but it happened to be on the 25th this year. So, but Christmas is a time where we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Like I said earlier, it is the best gift we have ever received. For God is God, and for Him to actually become a man so that we could spend eternity with Him, that's pretty awesome. That's a lot of love. He said, I'm giving up all my power, and I'm just going to become a mortal man so that I can come down and show you the truth and then die for you and then cover you in my blood so that you can spend eternity with me in heaven. It's awesome. I mean, as a parent, you know, as a person, I think, wow, that's a pretty big gift. But as a parent, I understand it. Thank God I am a parent. You know, it opened my mind to a lot different things. You know, I mean, you love people beforehand, but once you become a parent, you realize it's way different. I mean, you do anything for that child to protect them and bless them and try to keep them from doing dumb things. And she's constantly doing stuff, and we're like, you just can't eat salt by itself. It's not good for you. And she doesn't understand it. She loves to eat salt. And we're like, it makes you sick. Stop eating it. So God's that way to us. It's like, you just don't, just trust me. Don't do that. I love you. I'm not doing this to be mean. I'm doing this because I love you. So being a parent really opens up a whole lot of new things. It's funny, growing up, every Christmas morning, we'd get up and we wanted to open presents, and we knew that Dad was going to read the Bible for like 20 minutes, and it seemed like a million years. We had to read the entire Christmas story. We're like, Dad, we want to open presents. No, we got to read the Christmas story. And it is important. It's important to remember. I mean, God had the Jews celebrate holidays every year so that they would remember things that were important. Because it is how quick we forget. You know, it's you get sick, and then you get well, and then, you know, God heals you. And then 3 weeks later, you don't even remember that God healed you. You don't even think about the fact that you were sick anymore. So, you know, when God does something awesome, we do things to remind ourselves that God does he's done awesome things, because we so easily forget. It's amazing we forget, but we easily forget. So Christmas is a way of remembering Christ's birth and his greatest gift to us, to come down and be with us. I am going to read from Luke, and I'm going to start with chapter 1. It's pretty awesome, as all books in the Bible are. I'm going to do a little. So Luke was a physician, and he was also not Jewish. I don't know if you guys knew that. He was a Gentile. He was good friends with Paul. He went on several of Paul's journeys. If you talk to scholars, they say that he was a very learned man, because of the Greek words that he used were not just the normal, everyday, colloquial Greek. They were, he was definitely an educated man. So, I mean, for him to see Jesus, or he didn't, you know, he was there, but we don't know if he spent any time with Jesus. There's no mention of that. But for him to accept Jesus as his Savior, being one, a Gentile, and being two, a very smart man, that was pretty awesome, because smart men generally think they can do it on their own. And he saw his own shortcomings, and he not only laid it down in the book of Luke, but he also wrote Acts. So, anyways, here we go. The Gospel according to Luke. Since many took in hand to draw up an account concerning the matters of having been born of being born out among us, as those from the beginning delivered to us, becoming eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good also to me, having traced out all things accurately from the first, to write in order to you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know the certainly concerning the words which you were taught. So, he's saying, a lot of people have already written on this, but I feel like I'm going to write my account of Jesus being born. So here it is. In the days of Herod, the king of Judea, there was a certain man named Zacharias, of the daily course of Abijah, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So Aaron, we remember that Aaron was the high priest, so she is in the line of the priests. And they were both righteous before God, walking blameless in all the commandments and in ordinances of God, and no child was born to them because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in their days. The thing that I find most interesting is the fact that they were both righteous and walked blameless in all the commandments and ordinances of God. And I'm thinking, they must have already had the gospel, because we can't do that. I mean, there's no way to do that. So, like David understood God's heart. I think, I mean, before Jesus came, there were people that understood God's heart. You know, they knew the law was to show them their shortcomings and that they needed God. But we talked several weeks ago about in the Sermon on the Mount about the meek man is the man who understands that he needs God. And it's funny when the world is always trying to do things, I think, man, stop working so hard. Just get in God's will and everything just falls into place. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom and everything will be given unto you. It's like, why are you trying so hard? It's this, God loves us. And, you know, parents, I know that I always want my daughter to find the easiest route, and so I'm always trying to help her out. And God's always trying to help us find the easiest route. He's like, you know, if you do it this way, you won't have to go through this and this and this and this. And then we usually go that way, and then we go through all that junk, and we're like, wow, that was a mess. I should have listened to you, God. I don't know if you guys have ever had that happen to you when God tells you to do something, you do it another way, and you're like, yeah, wow, I should have listened to you. That was dumb. And then you just, you know, you have to undo all that and go back to the beginning, and then you do it the way God says, and it's so much easier. But also they were advanced in their age, and they were barren. So Mary and I know what that's like, and that's pretty miserable. And it happens in his serving as priest in the order of of his concerning before God according to the customs of the priests entering into the temple of the Lord. It was Zacharias' lot to burn the incense. So they each took turns, and it was his turn to do it. This was kind of a scary thing. You guys know that you could go in and not come out. So, and all the multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right hand of the altar of incense. Now, that would be odd because you're in there by yourself and nobody else is supposed to be in there. All of a sudden there's a guy standing right beside you and you're like, whoa, what are you doing in here? And you'd be, I know my first thought would be, you can't be in here. And then your second thought was, how did you get in here? And why aren't you dead? Because you're in here. And seeing this, Zacharias was troubled and fear fell on him. But the angel said to him, do not fear, Zacharias, because your prayer was heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear a son to you, and you shall call his name John. And he will be joy and exultation to you. And many shall rejoice over his birth, for he shall be great in the eyes of the Lord. And he shall not drink wine or strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit and from his mother's womb, and he will turn the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. It says, for his he shall be great in the eyes of the Lord. That's what every child wants. They want they always want to please their parents. It's weird. Like, Gabby will get in trouble and we'll spank her, and 2 seconds later, she's forgotten about it, and she just wants to make us happy. That's, you know, this guy, before he was even born, he was already great in the eyes of the Lord. And he shall not drink wine or strong drink, and the Holy Spirit shall be even from his mother's womb. And he will go out before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient ones and the wisdom of the just to make ready the people having been prepared for the Lord. I think that's awesome. I always say to Mary, I said, God created kids so men would go out to work. And it's true. I mean, boy, sometimes she is... She's loud, and I'm just like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go work today. So, it's fathers' desires are to protect their children, and I can't imagine not wanting to do that, but I know there are some out there that, you know, that don't. And so John was going to come, and he was going to share the truth, and when you share the truth, people's eyes and hearts are open. You know, it's hard to run away from the truth. And even if you don't like it, it's a comfort. Because it focuses you on Jesus. And he will go out before him in the power and in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient ones to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people having been prepared for the Lord. So we're being prepared. You know, we're the bride of Christ. And as you spend time with the Lord, I mean, that's what you do when you're gonna get married. You spend time with the person, and you get to know them. And then after you get married, you spend more time with them, you get to know them better, and then you realize there's things about them that you didn't know ahead of time, and you're like, I wish I would have known that. But then those are the things you find out later in life that you really enjoy about that person. So Mary has probably some of those about me, I'm pretty sure. And Zacharias said to the angel, by what shall I know this? For I am old, and my wife is advanced in her days. I don't know. I always wonder what I would have done in that situation. I mean, there is an angel standing beside you talking to you. I would like to think I would have believed him, but I don't. I mean, if Zacharias didn't, and he was a priest, he didn't believe the angel, and he questioned him. It's always funny. I always think, what would I have done in that situation in the Bible? Would I have done the right thing, or would I have been the dumb guy again? You know, dumb guy like in the story. And a lot of the stories in the Bible are there for us. When I say story, all the we know they're not stories. They're they're there for us to see ourselves in them, because things happen to us in life, and we need to make decisions, and we can go back to the Word, and we see, you know, we see these guys make some dumb decisions or good decisions, and God blesses them, or not. This isn't, I don't know why my mind does that. And answering, the angel said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands before God, and I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you the good news of these things. And behold, you shall be silent and not be able to speak until the day in which these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. That's a long time. He's going to go home in a little while, and John is going to be conceived. So he's already mute, and he can't speak for at least 9 months. That'd be a long time not to speak. I enjoy speaking a lot. So I can't even imagine not speaking for 9 months. And the people were excited, expecting Zacharias, and they wondered at his delay in the temple. But coming out, he was not able to speak to them, and they recognized that he had seen a vision in the temple. And he was making signs to them and continued dumb. And it happened when the days of his service were fulfilled, he went away to his house. And after these days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And she hid herself for 5 months, saying, so the Lord has done to me in the days which he took on me to take away my reproach among men. So she was excited because she was now going to have a baby. And I can tell you, being in your 40s and having a three-year-old, in your late 40s and having a three-year-old is a lot of work. And we're like, God, why couldn't you have done this 20 years ago? But, you know, it's funny. God has timing. And his timing is perfect. If we had had kids earlier, we would have never had Gabriela. Because when things go together, it's only that one time in time. So that's why every life is so precious, because it could have only happened at that exact instant. And if it didn't happen, it wasn't going to happen. And so had we had kids earlier, I doubt we would have ever had Gabriela. And I can't imagine my life without her. So, God's timing is perfect. We can not see things happening, and we think, God, why aren't you taking care of this? And God's like, just be patient. Like, you know, the weekend of my daughter's birthday, and I was so angry at God for having the weather be crappy. And God just said, after yelling at him, God just said, quietly, he just said, trust me. And I'm like, all right, that was stupid. You gave me a child, and I don't even trust you about the weather. You know, how like I said, how soon we forget. And then 6 months, the angel Gabriel sent by God to the city of Galilee, the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin who had been betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And entering, the angel said to her, Hail, one having received grace, the Lord is with you. You are blessed among women. And seeing this, she was disturbed at his word and considered what kind of greeting this might be. That's funny. She was considering what greeting it was. Not that just some random guy just showed up, but she's like, what kind of greeting is this? So, and the angel said, Do not fear, Mary, for you have found favor from God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. This one will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will be to no end. And Mary said to the angel, How will this be, since I have not known a man? And answering the angel, said to her,
The Holy Spirit will come unto you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the Holy One, being born of you, will be called the Son of God. And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month to her who was called barren. For nothing shall be impossible with God. That verse, I always think of that because I always think we expect so little of God. God is God and He can do whatever He wants. You know, if the whole world is being destroyed by men, God can stop it in an instant. You know, God can send His Son down and turn everything around, give us the truth. And, you know, we don't have any clue, and we need to expect more from God. You know, I'd like to just live a comfortable life and be left alone, but that's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to, you know, I mean, I've been reading in Corinthians a lot, and you know, the disciples were always going out, and it's funny because when most people think of go out, they think go to another country, go far away, but they just went to the next city or the next town or two towns over. You know, I mean, that was a long way for them. They had to walk. They couldn't drive. We need to take over our cities. We need to set them on fire for God. It's no fun because it means work. But then we have God's yoke, so it's not a burden. He'll give us the energy. He'll give us the doors to open. He'll shut the doors that need to be shut. I know it's coming. and it's funny, we can either be prepared or not be prepared, like the virgins, you know. Well, I mean, that's about the wedding, but you know, you can either be prepared or not prepared, and it's better just to be prepared, so when it happens you're not feeling foolish. You're like I kind of got what's going on, but I should have spent a little more time prepping for this. That's a popular thing nowadays, these preppers. Not into one of those. I have a friend who's a prepper, and he's always calling me up. Did you buy 6 months worth of food? No, I did not. Why not? Well, I talked to God, and He said, don't worry about it. So if God says, buy 6 months worth of food, I'll do it. So God always has to be the last answer. You can't listen to man. There's a lot of deceit and fear, and if it doesn't line up with the Word, it's just chuck it, you know. Nothing shall be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, the slave of the Lord, may it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. I love the fact that the original Greek says slave. It doesn't say servant. Because servant is someone who still has to take care of themselves, whereas a slave is someone, when you become a slave to someone, you work for them, but they feed you and they clothe you and they give you a place to stay, whereas a servant comes and works and then they have to go home and they have to take care of their own house as well. And you know, so I like the word slave better, being a slave. I mean, I don't want to be a slave to man, but I don't mind being a slave to God, because that means He gives me everything to do everything I need to do, and He gives me all my sustenance and my place to stay, and I just need to trust Him. And rising up these days, Mary went into the hill country with haste and to the city of Judah. And she entered into the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, as Elizabeth heard Miriam's word greeting, that the babe in her womb leapt. And Elizabeth was called of the Holy Spirit, and she cried out in a loud voice, saying, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And from where is this to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? That is awesome. I mean, the Holy Spirit has revealed all that stuff to her. I mean, I can't even imagine. I mean, that would be so awesome. All of a sudden, somebody walks up to you, and God just goes, here's everything you need to know about this person. That's scary. I always wondered if my dad I was going, if I sin, is the Holy Spirit going to tell my dad about this sin? I was like, God, don't do that. Let you deal with the sin, God. Don't tell my dad that I did this sin. Oh, man. If there's, you know, true men of God, it's always kind of scary being around them. They, like, what is God telling them? For behold, as the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the babe in my womb leaped in exultation. And blessed is she believing, because there will be a completion to the things spoken to her from the Lord. So Mary, I mean, every Israelite woman wanted to have a boy, because they all wanted to have the Savior. And Mary was the one that was chosen. And everything that the prophets had spoken up to this time was coming to pass. And it's amazing to me, and I know why, but it's amazing to me that the Jewish people don't see it, and it's because the Bible says that their eyes have been blinded. Many have. I mean, many have come to know Jesus, but and it's funny. I don't know why I get these thoughts in my head. There's so many religions out there, and it's like you can wrestle. You're like, how is our religion the correct religion? And you wrestle with that, and then you just know. You read the Word, you see the world around you, and you go, there can't be any other religion. There's God is God, and there is no other God. And it's funny, because, I mean, you think, I've been a believer all my life. You know, I've been saved for probably 38 years or whatever. I don't know how long I've been saved. A long time. Yeah, probably 38 years. And how can you be 38 years old and still every once in a while you question, is God real? I mean, because things just fall apart. But, you know, and you come back to it and you get to the Word and you go, I know God is real. And it's funny, because you become even stronger, even bolder. You're like, I have no doubt in my mind that God is real. And Miriam said, my soul magnifieth the Lord, and my spirit exalted in God my Savior, for he looking upon the humiliation of his bondslave. For behold, from now all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One did great things for me, the Holy is his name, and his mercy is to generations of generations to those fearing him. He performed mighty with his arm. He scattered proud ones in the thought of their heart. He put down powerful ones from the thrones. He exalted lowly ones. He filled the hungry with good things. He sent the rich away empty. He helped his servant Israel in order to remember mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Miriam remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her house. To me, that whole section, I mean, about every time we think things are going crazy, we just got to remember that God's in control. The whole world can be falling apart and we can be blessed. We can be fed. We can be clothed. So when God gives you a plan, a design, you know, a vision, don't worry about how it's going to turn out. I think the first thing to ask him is when, because sometimes God will give us a vision and we immediately try it and we didn't ask God when, because a lot of times he's preparing you for it. He said, here's my vision, and now I'm preparing you for it. I mean, in the Bible, I've said this a lot, but in the Bible, things happen quick, but usually God will tell somebody something and then it'll be years or decades, and then it'll happen. So when God gives you a vision, always ask God, when? You know, I'm just prepare, you know, be ready. Sometimes it is immediately, but be patient. our time, it's funny, I've been thinking about this world, and this world is just a breath. And we put so much emphasis on this world and not getting sick and dying or, you know, or surviving or whatever. And this world is, it's like when we spend a time in eternity, it's going to be a blip. You know, it won't, it's so seeking God and spending time with God is the most important thing, because that's like the primer for eternity. You know, we're going to be with God for eternity. It's good to get to know him. And the time was fulfilled that Elizabeth for her to bear, and she bore a son. And the neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord magnified his mercy with her, and they rejoiced with her. And it happened on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child and were calling it by his father's name, Zacharias. And the mother answered, saying, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "No one among your kindred who is called by this name." And they signaled to his father that he might desire for him to be called. And asking a writing tablet, he wrote, saying, "John is his name." And all marveled. And instantly in his mouth was opened, and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came out of all living around them and all the hill country of Judea, and all things were talked about. And all who heard them laid up in their hearts, saying, "What then will this child be? And the hand of the Lord is with him." I thought it was so interesting that they made such a big deal about not having a family name. Names are important to God. I mean, every name has a meaning. You know, you look up names and it has a meaning. And God just, I think words are important. I'm going to go off on a little tangent. Words are important, and it's good to not use words that aren't from God, because the world makes up words all the time, or they take a word and they'll pervert it. And then you end up confused or arguing about something that's not even real. The world is always trying to, one, do away with God, and then also, when they can't, because they know they can't, then justify their actions. And so they make up words to keep themselves from feeling bad about what they're doing. So choose your words when you don't receive words from people that aren't that weren't created by God. You know, I mean, everything is created by God, but man pollutes things. You know, they come up with dumb words like transgender, which God says there's a man, there's a woman. Gender is actually a word that was invented to talk about language. You know, this is a male verb or a female verb. That's what gender is for. It has nothing to do with people. So always go back to God and don't allow. I know I was going to talk about, I knew something, it was something. Satan perverts the truth. It was funny. Oh, I know. I was thinking about the tree, the Christmas tree, and because I was thinking trees, the Christmas tree, the tree in the garden. And Satan changed the subject. He said, you know, they're in this garden and they have everything they could eat. They lack for nothing. And Satan was like, "Well, can you not eat of this tree?" But what he did was change the subject. The subject was the tree is now important and not God. And so now they're thinking about the tree. Oh, this tree is important. You know, I was thinking about the Christmas tree, whether it's a pagan symbol or not. And so what is it? But the thing is, what's important is God, and the tree has nothing to do with it. But Satan changed our focus. So don't let Satan change your focus from God. So if you find yourself finding things are important or not, you know, or your focus is somewhere and you're stressing out or anything, remember that's just a tactic of Satan to distract you from the truth, from being blessed, from doing God's will. So, sorry, another side tangent. And let's see. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, because he visited and worked redemption for his people. And he raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of the servant of David. And he spoke through the mouth of the holy prophets from the age before, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those hating us, to execute mercy from our fathers and to remember the holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham to give to us that we being delivered out of our enemy's hand in order to serve him without fear in the consecration and the righteousness before him all the days of our life. And your child will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his way to give a knowledge of salvation to the people by forgiveness of their sins through the tender bowels of mercy of our God, in which the day spring from on high will visit us to appear to those sitting in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to direct our feet in the way of peace. The child grew up and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of his showing to Israel. So, the Christmas sermon is on Christmas Eve, so I won't go any further. God always prepares a way. He always sets things up. His way is mighty and awesome. It's funny. I let life get too much for me from time to time, and I'll just start paring things away and going, I'm not able to do things like if I go to a job and I'm rushed, I hate it because I know I'll get the job done and the customer will be happy, but I know it wasn't the best job that I could do. And so the world, you know, this world has enticing things and we enjoy them, but sometimes they become a burden to us and they just distract us from what's really happening. Like I was saying earlier, this world is just a blip and we have eternity to seek out all sorts of things that are fun to do. You know, right now we should be seeking God, and which is a hard thing for me to say because I really enjoy goofing off. But again, you need to ask, you know, you always have to ask God what his desire is, because sometimes he has to get you sick for 2 weeks so you have to rest. I always find that if I work real hard and I work real hard and then I'll finally get some time off, I'll usually get sick because I've been pressing myself so hard. I've just recently gotten some time off and I've been able to slow down, and I think my father's passing is finally starting to hit me because I haven't been working so hard the last few days. It's been good, though. I've gotten mad at God and mad at my dad for not taking care of himself. But then I'm happy at God because, you know, God used him to do what he needed him to do. And now he's graduated and he's at peace and whole. That's our whole... This life is about graduating, getting to heaven and being with Jesus and spending eternity with him. It's not about whatever the world says this life is about. So God sent his son into the world to change our course, to show us what was really important, to show us his love, his mercy, to tell us, you know, that even though we sin, if we're in him, we're righteous, we're holy, because we can beat ourselves up. But, you know, you can't even listen to yourself, because we lie to ourselves. We tell ourselves all sorts of dumb things. We can justify sin. We can feel bad about sin. You always have to go back to what God says. Who does God say that I am? You know, I'm the bride of Christ. I am his child. I am righteous. I am holy. I don't look it. This is just my flesh. I mess up, you know, but one thing I know, God loves me, and he loved me so much that he sent down his son to die on the cross so that I could spend eternity with him. And that I'll be eternally grateful. Just thought that was I never even thought about that. Truly eternally grateful. So don't let the world distract you. I'm going to close with this. Don't let the world distract you. God is our only true focus. Everything else, like I said earlier, seek first the kingdom and everything else will be given to you. That's a hard one because we're always trying to make sure everything is in order. But the Bible says if you seek God first, the order will just fall into place. And that's a hard one to grasp because we live in this fleshly world. So don't let the devil distract you. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Remember who you are in Christ. This season is a season to cherish your families because God created the family and whatever kind of family it is. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we can go to it whenever we need answers. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that comforts us and gives us wisdom and does its best to stop us when we're doing dumb things. Thank you, Father, for this earth that we live on that's wonderful and precious and for us to enjoy. Give us wisdom. Keep us safe on our way home. And let all our holiday conversation be edifying and wonderful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Wahoo! Well, that was kind of rough, but thank you guys for listening. Let's see. Do we have anybody to pass the offering plate? No. That's what Larry told me to say. And if anybody needs prayer, please come forward. If you guys just want to put it in the box, we don't need to pass the plate. You guys are awesome. This church means so much to me. Not the building. The church is you guys. The building is just a building. We are going to set this city on fire for Jesus. So, hallelujah. You guys have an awesome day. Seven and 11. You sneaking away?
No, sir. Probably don't want to shake my hand. I got allergies all over. There we go.
It's all
doing
good.
Doing all right, bud?
Yeah, doing good.
Come on out, guys. Oh, I got cold.
I'm doing 7 and Halverson's doing 11.
Okay. 11's late.
It is late.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
You're looking sharp, dude.
Just throw on some clothes.
How's your mom?
She's doing okay.
Yeah.
She's been to church the last 2 Sundays, so.
I wondered when she started coming because we haven't been in a minute.
But yeah. Yeah. How the boys doing?
Doing good.
Good. How are you?
Sleeping, I think.
How are you doing?
Just allergies, but doing good otherwise.
Good.
Good otherwise. I was going to leave Moritz, but then they came back with a pretty good offer, so.
Good.
I was going to go to Honda across the street, but I'm going to
stay. All right.
I'm doing good.
All right. You still got the same number?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Good. All right. Well, love you guys.
Love you too, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks for
have a good Sunday.
Yeah. In my mind, it felt very just all over the place, so I don't know.
The right words came out.
Yeah, they did.
So thank you.
Good.
God is good. Have a blessed day.
Love you.
Love you too.
You too. God bless.
Bless you too. Will do. Thanks.
Trust God.
there was something I wanted to tell you about.
Oh,
what you did up there.